I always forget to unmute myself. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the live stream. Thank you for joining. This is Vimo Live. It's a live stream that happens on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. and Saturdays at 8 p.m. On Wednesdays, I read comments and I reply. On Saturdays, I take callers. For doing that, I will share a link in the chat momentarily. It will be pinned to the top of the chat. You can click on it and you can join the live stream by audio or video. Tech problems. Hold on. Yes, there's the link. I have pinned it to the chat and you can click on it and you can come join the queue. आज कोई वैसा टॉपिक नहीं है. नॉर्मली वी टॉक अबाउट एथिज्म, कंटेम्पररी पॉलिटिक्स, सोशो कल्चरल इश्यूज एंड स्टफ. सो व्हाटएवर इज ऑन योर माइंड यू कैन कम एंड डिस्कस. कुछ लोग चैट पे पूछ रहे हैं आज साइंटिस्ट आएगा कि नहीं. इन केस एनीवन इज कंफ्यूज, दैट इज अबाउट एन इंस्टाग्राम पोस्ट आई मेड अबाउट व्हिच वाज अ स्क्रीनशॉट ऑफ सम मैसेजेस दैट समवन हु वाज अ साइंटिस्ट अलजेडली सेंट मी एंड सेड दैट व्हाट ही सेड, स्टॉप स्प्रेडिंग योर हाफ विट थियोरीज, half it ideas. And then I said, sir, please come to the live stream and talk to me and explain to me stuff. And he said, I only talk to people who are smarter than me or as smart as me. So I don't know why he had messaged me if he thought I was not worth talking to. But yeah, the whole point today is to talk to people. And the link has been shared. Some people are joining. But before that, let me just tell people that whoever is joining, go to the private chat section and tell me the topic you want to talk about, so I can make a, you know, good choice of topics that adds to the show. Ashish wants to talk about capitalism, and whoever else is here, please also do the same. Go to the private chat section and tell me your topic. Surya says, responding to my question on proportional representation, you said you shared a reel related to that. I dug up your Insta and found it. It was called Legal Reform. Intent matters. I have two questions after watching that. How much does intent matter in comparison to its consequences? When it comes to legal reform, what do we do when intent was a net negative but cons were net positive? Okay, this will probably require more thought than I am prepared to engage in today. So let's talk about it some other time. Anil Kapoor says, wanted to join today. Don't think I would be able to make it. Okay, Anil, the stream happens every Saturday. You can come. By the way, there might be some complications with the stream next Saturday, but I'll tell you about that later. Next Saturday, it won't be a regular old stream. Laksh says, what's your opinion about David Goggins' method about don't take rest day, no recovery needed? I have no idea what you're talking about. If you want to talk about it, come on screen, we will talk. Then he says, I recently became atheist. And thanks to you, my doubts are cleared. I'm starting to think from a rational mind about everything. Thanks, Vimo. Thanks, Rakshit. Sorry, Laksh. People are waiting for the scientists. They're not going to come, guys. Everyone who's on Twitch also, welcome. This is also going live on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheVimoShow. Wait, I'll just show you the URL. Yeah. twitch.tv/TheVimoShow is also somewhere that you can go and follow the show. So let me wait, kisi ne kuch mention kiya kya, ye kis cheez ka jawab hai? Roronoa Zoro says, Modi at every event, hum first humko sab aata hai, and when told to do press conference, bangan. For those who did not get that, check Aditya Kumar Bangan on YouTube. P.S. My sarcasm needs a little work. Okay. The U.S. government press corps apparently asked for media access. And we told them in very uncertain, no uncertain terms, that ye bas mela hai, ye meena bazaar hai, yahan stall lagenge, tum log ko ghoomna hai, ghoom lo, democracy ki umeed karna chhod do. So that's what they are talking about. Taranga says, no, he said he discusses with people smarter than him and educates people less smart than you, and that you are neither, hence not accepting your invite. Made no sense. Haan, wo to matlab ho jata hai. Kya kare ab? Matlab, beech-beech mein ye hota hai ki sometimes I try to not pressure people into coming. Because if I say, himmat hai to aa, then it's kind of mean-spirited and people sometimes just call that out and say, I won't come because you're ill-mannered. Which they should, and that's not the way to do it. Sometimes I do. I get angry, and sometimes I do. It's okay. But mostly what I do is I say, come, we will talk. Even if I say debate, some people get angry, right? So I asked him very politely, sir, come, and we'll talk. And he was like, no. So, but a scientist, hai, kya kar sakte hai? There is a super chat from Shai Hulud. Hello, Mo. Been a long time follower of this channel. Nice to see it growing steadily. Thank you for the Dune reference and also for the contribution. Thank you. Let's see. Private chat mein jaate hain, dekhte hain kaun kis bare mein baat karna chahte hain. Okay. We have a surprise guest with us. It's Pranav. Hi, Pranav. Were you talking about yourself?
Hello, hello, folks.
What is up? What is up?
Just 1 second. I have to go. There's someone at my door and there's no
one. Okay, cool, 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 cool. Come back, come back. I'll take you back.
Pull me out. I'll come back.
उसके घर पे कोई आ गया. You said let's talk on stream. Jaseem Wani. Hold on. Jaseem किधर है? Wait, Jaseem से पहले. अरे मेघनाथ तुम?
Hello.
क्या हो रहा है आज? जिसे देखो चला रहा है.
I was like, अरे प्रणव भी आ गया तो फिर चलो.
क्या चल रहा है? मतलब like did you want to do something, talk about something specific?
Yeah, I was you were talking, like someone asked about the Modi press conference thing, so I came for
that. Yeah. हाँ बोलो ना क्या है.
Why does Modi not do press conferences? Someone,
I have my own theories, but if you have some insight, please share it. No, my theory is that he does not want to be seen. Like he is very aware of the frame, right? Where he stands, what he looks at, like. So if there is a picture where somebody is asking him a question, he doesn't want that. So it's not that he can't answer questions. It's not that he doesn't want. I mean, he doesn't want obviously, but his larger strategy is that he does not want to put out the sight of him asking questions, because that image will send out the message that he can be questioned, and that is what he wants to discourage.
Legit theory, but my thing goes a little further than that. I feel like he doesn't have the ability to do it. I feel like
I don't think so anymore
because I feel like it's also like he's so carefully controlling his personal image all the time that he sort of doesn't want to give that control away, right? So I think him and everyone else around him has sort of convinced themselves that all he needs to do is speak. He doesn't need to answer questions, he doesn't need to be challenged, etc., because so that, everyone is voting based on that.
I think that is conscious. That's the message they're sending out to everyone, that your only job as a person in the media or a citizen who's aware and asking questions, your only job is to listen and obey. Because if I answer a question, then there will be another one. Then there will be another one. Then there will be apparently accountability of some sort. And I cannot encourage that. But if you look at his Republic Day speech, where there were the pauses between his sentences were shorter and he was talking impromptu apparently, notebooks se dekhke, you saw a little bit of what he was like before 2014. But it is entirely possible. It is entirely possible that he's lost, you know, practice, right? But if things come to push, if push comes to shove, then he totally can, I think.
I think, so that's the thing, no? You start believing in your own lies. You start believing in your own sort of myths also, right? You know, I feel like, so 10 years, right? 10 years is not a short period of time. For 10 years, if you don't do a press conference, if you do only scripted interviews, if you basically thrive on just giving speeches and you get results in the form of votes, I feel like at one point you start believing that, yeah, this is what I need to do now.
That is true. I think he has totally bought his own legend. Like in startups, I at least had one boss who used to say, don't drink your own Kool-Aid. Like the marketing stuff that is being put out, it's for other people to think about us. If you fall into the trap of believing it, then you're doomed.
Absolutely.
Hold on. There's a super chat from Shiryasha. Thank you for the Exodus. Look, there's Tofu. Even he doesn't want to miss out on today's all-star stream. Thank you, Shiryasha. Let's see. Meghna, do you want to stay on screen when I take someone?
Sure, absolutely. I'm here.
Hold on.
I just came to bomb this stream, so.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Yeah. Bomb away. Let's take Jaseem. Hi, Jaseem. You're online.
Hello, Vimo. I have been like your watcher since like 1 year.
Okay.
So I was an agnostic. I have been an agnostic for a few years. And I asked you a question in DMs, like, is there any rational reason to be moral?
Is there any rational reason to be moral? It creates a healthier society for all of us to live in.
Like, if you don't fear a god, for example, in atheism, like, you know, we don't believe in a god, right? So if you see a person who is, you know, like on the road and got into an accident, like what is the motivation for you to help him? And, you know,
there
like
many,
leave your...
So here's the thing. If you lived in a society where people were dying on the road and you were doing nothing, will people trust you?
No, they will not.
Will your life be better as a result of people not trusting you?
No, it will not be better.
So this is the rational reason. We help people because there is something called the social contract. It has been written about in political literature also. Social contract means there is this unspoken agreement between all people that we are going to be there for each other. And that is why people like to belong to certain societies. If there is a society where everyone was exploiting each other, then that society people will not want to be a part of. If there is a society which has a reputation of people helping each other, more people would want to be a part of it. That is the, I think morality creates that framework.
Yeah, like if you are at a place where nobody will see you helping a person, so will you still do it or not? Like if, you know,
it becomes a habit, right? It becomes a habit. It's not as if every time I see someone in danger, I'm thinking, oh, wow, someone is in danger. I better protect my reputation by helping him. Otherwise, tomorrow people will not help me. So it becomes a habit. If children are told to be moral right from childhood, even when they're out there somewhere where somebody needs help and they don't help them, that pressure, that teaching, that general impulse to help people is already there because childhood bachpan se sikhaya gaya hai.
Yes, that is true. But what if someone is like extremely powerful and they don't believe in religions? Like in previous times, people used to believe in religions. So even the powerful people, you know, resented exploiting, you know, the weak. But now if people don't believe in a religion, won't they just go for it and exploit people? Like they don't fear a god.
So back when people used to believe in God and higher powers, etc., they were still cruel rulers, right? And that people don't believe in God, there are still people who are kind. So that does not. So the line you're drawing is not like a solid line on is side pe religion or morality or is side pe atheism or immorality. Things happen.
Yeah.
People are good or bad, and they can be good while being religious or atheist, and they can be bad while being religious or atheist.
Yeah, there I think you're wrong.
Sorry, can I just interrupt and ask a question? Yeah, I was just wondering, so like your basic assumption here is that religion is the one that gives you morality, some sense of morality, right?
I mean, yeah, it gives you a fear that if you don't do moral things and you believe in religion, then there is a God that will punish you. But else, like, it is a pretty hard to find a rational reason to be moral. Like, I didn't know it, now Vimo told. So I think that is a pretty good answer.
But then, like, is there a possibility where you think that both of them can be disconnected? That there can just be the moral values. You don't need, like, a religion to basically
believe.
Yeah,
there are some cases, like normal social interactions. Like, if you be nice to people, people will be nice to you. So that is something that religion isn't. Yeah. But then, you know.
If I may add one thing. I don't know your name. I'm sorry. I came late.
His name is Jaseem.
Jaseem. Okay. Jaseem. So don't you think it's a very childish thing to have a fear of punishment be a motivation for being good? Like, it's not.
I mean, I don't believe in religion.
So just for clarity, this is Jaseem presenting a hypothetical scenario. It's not something he believes.
Okay.
He's just asking.
Oh, so, fair enough. No. I mean, absolutely.
Okay. So I'm just saying, if I was afraid of punishment and that's the only reason I'm being good, am I actually not, am I not a bad person?
I mean, you're good, right? So it doesn't matter what you think. It matters just what you do. So if you do good things, so I think, you know, in a society, if you want to, you know, like stabilize a society, isn't religion extremely important to do that? Do you guys think so or not?
But are my motivations of doing good driven by this fear of punishment? Isn't that
a
very childish understanding of morality also? Like,
yeah, there is a
at home,
sorry, Pranav, there is a comment which is actually capturing what you're saying. Vishaka is saying religion is a set of moral stories told by elders to so that people follow the right path. Like that fear
I
of reprisal.
Quotation marks.
and authority, right? You know, that's what it is.
Yeah, okay. So, like, I was I had a debate a few days ago with a person who is studying psychology, and she told me, like, you know, religion is extremely important for, you know, society. That's why I wanted to ask and, you know, like, clear up some questions.
Cool.
Yeah. And thanks a lot for having me.
I hope this was helpful, Jaseem.
Yes. I want to say hi to Science is Dope, though. Like, I've been watching.
You just had an entire conversation with him.
I also want to say hi to Science is Dope. Hi, Science is Dope.
Hello.
We haven't
I
said
also want to say hi.
Someone is on private chat. Holy Trinity.
Holy Trinity. Asabhe, God. Yahan pe cult ban raha hai. Thank you, Jaseem. Thank you. Can I move on to someone else?
Jaseem, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Chalo. Bye-bye. Thank you. So that
yeah,
was...
Meghnam, I had no Jaseem. Idea you were also planning to...
I was going to bomb this stream anyway. Because, I mean, I did a member stream and then I was like, I'll just come and surprise
people. Oh, you did a member stream today?
I did. Just
how,
did.
How long was it?
2 hours.
Oh, wow. What all did you cover?
So like, it was like a workshop per se. So I showed people my script of the next video. I asked them how I was thinking about it, what is the idea that I'm going with, and the new series that I'm starting, which I'm editing right now. So I showed them that as well. And then we watched a little bit of Anand Ranganathan, because members only, so we can watch it without copyrights.
Oh, you don't get a copyright thing in...
I don't monetize it, right? Only? Doesn't matter. I don't monetize it.
So you start a stream and you play a video from some other YouTube channel on it, your video, your live stream does not get shut down?
No, it doesn't.
Because I've heard stories from people whose live streams were shut down.
Mine was shut down once when I was streaming the Republic Day parade.
That's what I'm afraid of. And that like leaves a mark, right? My bigger problem is I heard from Meghnad last time that he was going to do a members only stream. And I was thinking, hey, maybe I can do something like that. Like, you know, tell people about my process. And then I realized I don't have a process.
By the way, I have to go again. Someone at my door again.
Yeah,
okay, cool. When you come back, I'll take you back in. Pranav is having a busy day. So my thing is, I do a live stream and then people come and ask questions. And at the end of it, I look at the topics, like all the things that people asked, all the things we talked about. And I make a headline and I change the thumbnail and I upload that. So guys, if in chat, if you want to help me out, when today's stream is ending, suggest titles for it. Right? I'll just choose one if it's a good one and I'll put it in the YouTube title. Mere liye thoda kam kaam hoga. Right, let's see who else. Jaseem is done. Simple Toad says, I want to ask about reservations, how people in college are cursing as CSTs, transgender suffering from disease, and how can I find what I really want to do in life? Simple Toad. Hold on. Simple Toad, go on.
Am I audible?
You're audible, go on.
Hi, Vimo. Hi, Mika.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I recently got enrolled to a college in Delhi University, and you know, a professor over there explained why do we actually need reservation, and I wasn't really convinced at all.
What did the professor say?
I'll tell you. He said that reservation was, you know, introduced by upper caste people to let lower caste people be lower caste people. I mean, to let them not develop. This is what he literally said. And
was this professor, like, where is this professor existing in the caste hierarchy?
His surname is basically Ambedkar. So, I assume.
I think the statement that reservation was introduced by upper caste people itself is a bit problematic because...
And that too, and after that, he went on to say that, you know, the lower caste people never asked for it. And I was like, then who is Dr. B.R. Ambedkar? Then I think...
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. I don't understand what your professor's point was. But my point is, sometimes the manifestation that emancipation takes, like if you want to like end a centuries old problematic practice, you sometimes have to come up with methods that are not expressly demanded because they cannot be demanded. If someone does not have a voice, how will they ask for emancipation, right? So, first of all, the idea that upper caste people gave it is problematic because your rights, my rights, your professor's rights, everyone's rights come from the constitution. And I don't think it is fair to say that the constitution is the work of upper caste people because it just reinforces the idea ki hum Hinduon ne inko desh mein rehne diya wagera wagera. It doesn't work like that. It's just weird.
And also, my colleagues in college are, very ignorant about why do we actually have reservations. They every day come up with, reasons like, they're already 75% of the population and we're supposed to be, the minority in the country and they're getting reservation for some reason. They're ignorant, completely ignorant about caste discrimination or the reasons for reservation.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, that ignorance is not uncommon. But hopefully, with enough people talking about it, enough people spreading awareness about it, more people will become.
So aware. when I told them about that caste discrimination based on caste still happens in many parts in India. They're like, we have never seen it. We've never read in any newspapers or
there are two possibilities, right? Either these people live on Mars or they lie about not reading newspapers. Because I don't think it is possible to exist in modern social media landscape and not be aware of all the things that are happening. Were they not aware that someone got urinated on a couple of weeks ago?
Exactly.
Or that people are routinely murdered for, drinking water from the so-called wrong place.
You're not
talking about people who are unaware. I think you're talking to liars.
Yeah, maybe. And they're like, we ourselves never knew about our caste since childhood or even a few years back. I think that's a privilege to not know.
About their caste privilege has already translated into social mobility. Right. Yeah. It's not like they have to go somewhere and say, "Main Mishra hu, mujhe ye naukri do." It is so embedded in society that they don't have to do it. Right. They just go somewhere and the infrastructure, the casteist infrastructure is already in place and they just take the benefit of it. It is so embedded that they get benefits from it without sometimes being aware of it. So the solution to that also, I think, is more.
You know, the funny thing, just interrupting and the one thing I was thinking about also on these lines is that so if a person is born in privilege, right, like let's say a Brahmin family, pretty rich, semi-rich, jo bhi hai, middle class, jo bhi hai, but there is like a privileged man, like all the things, right, like me. So if you have someone like that, and they go out into the world and those belief systems which they have grown up with are challenged, I feel like there is a reaction. And I'm sorry, I missed your name.
Simple Toad.
What Simple Toad is pointing out is someone, like he described someone who just doesn't like that to be challenged, if I'm not wrong. Like he whenever he has to face his own privilege, whenever he's questioned about his own privilege, he will lash out or he will just come up with random ass theories that he will fill your head with. I think it's what is happening. I might be wrong, but.
I know, I agree. And my next question was about, people claiming that transgender people or homosexual people are actually suffering from a disease and these things don't actually exist are against the nature.
Well, that's just unscientific.
Outdated also now.
There is outdated, obviously, but there's this entire genre of short video content that is popularizing the idea that even if I'm not transphobic, I don't hate trans people, I think they're having problems and we should cure them. This idea is also not new. People have been trying to quote unquote cure gay people for a long time. And all the scientific literature all the sociological literature on this is against them. Tell them you're sorry, but this is just demonstrably wrong. There have been studies done. There have been the most ready resource I send to people about transsexuality is a video by Forrest Valkai called Sex and Sensibility. If you have not watched it, please watch it. Sex and Sensibility. If you just search for Sex and Sensibility, you'll find a video by Forrest Valkai.
I also have a recommendation for you. ContraPoints did a very good video. No, ContraPoints also did a video, but also Philosophy Tube. So the person who ran the Philosophy Tube channel, they had a operation and they are a trans person and they're now, they had like a surgery. So please watch the video where they actually explain the transformation and why they did the surgery. It's the most enlightening thing you will ever see. So it's like from a person who is accepting their trans identity and actually acting on it in public and then actually telling you why, what is the philosophical reasoning that they came up with to do this. It's absolutely mind-blowing. Like I cried at the end of that video. It's a long video. It's like a 2-hour long video.
Yeah, it's their coming out story, I think.
Yeah, coming out story.
Yeah, sure. And yeah, also, one of my friends in college actually told me, you know, why he supports BJP or why is he a right wing guy. He said, whenever he lives in a place in UP and whenever Pakistan wins, some of his Muslim friends actually support Pakistan and they, whenever there's an India versus Pakistan match, they support Pakistan. And all those, all those type of arguments which he put forward.
इसके बारे में एक रील बनाया था कल परसों इंस्टाग्राम पे आई पोस्टेड अ रील
यू नो द फनी थिंग इज दैट आई वाज द वन हु आस्क्ड द क्वेश्चन
व्हिच क्वेश्चन
द वन यू पोस्टेड
ऑन द रील ओह या सो आई मेड द रील एंड देन देयर वर अ बंच ऑफ पीपल इन द कमेंट्स आल्सो डिफेंडिंग दिस पोजीशन दैट यू से योर फ्रेंड्स हैव And I did my best to answer them there also. But beyond a point, you just have to accept that this idea has, like, these are people, many of those people were not right-wingers, apparently. They said, I'm not conservative, I'm not right-winger. But yeah, this happens. And like, if you are genuinely interested in finding out the data point, the only way you can know about this is that the person who's supporting the Pakistani team, like, there are four people, right? There's a Hindu, Christian, Muslim, and a Buddhist person supporting the Pakistani team. And there are a few people supporting the Indian team. You will not ask anyone that question except the Muslim person. And that is your Hindu privilege. You want to be the guy who demands that people prove their loyalty to you. And you have no right to do that. The only way you're going to find out whether someone is supporting Pakistan for some reason other than I like this player and this team if they told you. And if they did not tell you, then you don't know and you cannot say that. It's stupid.
No, what if it's actually one of the other reasons? They simply dislike India because they feel they have been discriminated and persecuted by Hindus. So maybe
again
like
that does not natural. So it's not a binary, right? It's not a binary. I was persecuted in India, therefore I will support Pakistan. Is not a binary. There are people being persecuted in Pakistan also. If you watch any amount of Pakistani content, you'll find that there are Pakistani people who. Are celebrating the Chandrayaan landing, right? And there are Indian Muslims who say, "Main 1000 saal ho jaye kabhi Pakistan nahi jaunga." So this is not a binary. Aisa nahi hai ki every Indian who gets persecuted in India automatically thinks Pakistan is the land of opportunity. They would rather go to America. Nobody thinks of Pakistan when they're like, "Okay, yeah, I have two options in the world: India or Pakistan. I'll choose Pakistan." That has not happened in a long time. And whoever is telling you this shit, they need to get their head checked.
Even Pakistanis might not say that.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest.
Look at, I was thinking the other day about how the power of Chandrayaan and ISRO and everything. I was thinking the other day about how space is the only thing that can make a Pakistani proud of India. Like of all the things. Like religion won't do it, culture won't do it, films won't do it. You can watch the best Indian film and Pakistani won't say, I'm proud of India for having done this. Space will do it because it's a uniting factor. Technology and science and our
I saw like
experience.
Some reaction videos of Gadar 2. Pakistanis reacting to Gadar 2. They've lost their shit. Okay, they're like, oh my God, Sunny wapas aa gaye. Tara Singh wapas aa rahe hai. And like, hamara itna childhood ka memory bhara hua hai is movie mein. Oh my God, part 2. Dude, they're very nice people in general. Like, general people are very nice. They're very
and
happy
about it. I think
it.
Generally speaking, people, Indian people might have the first Indiana Jones movie, which was very racist. As a guilty pleasure. You watch it because of Indiana Jones and you ignore the part that are racist. I'm sure it is easier for Indians living in India to do than Indians living in America to do. But things don't always, like, this is an oversimplification. That's what bothers me more than anything else. It's an oversimplification that there is India, there is Pakistan, there are Muslims, they said Pakistan something, something, they must be traitors. It's an oversimplification. Life doesn't work like that. But simple Toad, thank you for all the questions. Can I move on to someone else?
One last question, please. Just a minute or 30 seconds.
Okay, make it quick.
So my next question was about, you know, some people claim that energy can be, it can neither be created nor be destroyed, then why not God in the same way?
Okay, I'll give this one to Pranav.
So I don't think you can equate energy and God like that. Energy, it's a physical law that says energy cannot be created or destroyed. We have evidence for that. We have reasons. We have actual reasons why we say that law. We cannot equate it to God. Do you have any reason why you would say that?
No, I just, you know, I basically don't belong to a science background. So, you know, didn't really have much idea on it. So, thought about asking this.
Simple Toad, I would say that the word energy has a definition.
Like asking,
Go on, Pranav.
It's almost like asking, energy can neither be destroyed nor created. So, why not phones? Whether or not that answer is actually correct. I mean, why not X? Replace X with anything. That's what the question is doing. Like, okay, why not numbers? Why not the number two? That's kind of like what that question is. That's what I feel like.
All right, thank you, Pranav. And by the way, big fan. I watch a lot of your videos and appreciate your work.
Thanks, great, man.
Thanks, Simple Toad.
So thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That was Simple Toad. And now...
Sorry, Vibha, there is a comment which I wanted to read from chat.
Go on.
So, Olivek is saying that he was very upset with something I said. So, I wanted to sort of address that. Ek comment pad leta uska ek
this, I saw Meghnaad's political hour live stream.
I don't want to derail the conversation, but still disgusted by what Meghnaad had to say on Stalin's statement on eradicating Sanatan Dharma. You know, the funny thing is, Vimo, I said this, I literally was on your stream before I started my own, and I was looking at you, and I think you were also talking about the same thing. So I somewhat
repeated.
No, that's the thing. I agreed with him.
Yeah.
I agreed with him.
I don't understand Olivek. If Olivek can, like, I don't know if Olivek has left a comment where he explained why that is a problem.
Yeah, he has. He said that he doesn't agree because he said that eradicate Sanatan Dharma. So how are you supporting it? Right. So, I mean, but
would Olivek have the same reaction if someone said eradicate Islam or eradicate Christianity? I think it's a free country. Everyone has the right to say whatever they want.
A, that, agreed. Hmm. But also, B, he later clarified also, it's because they turned it into, oh, isko to genocide karna hai. Like, he wants to do a genocide. That's ridiculous. So, he said that. Yeah. I never said of genocide. He said,
and
I want
had,
to eradicate.
If he had said that, neither Meghnaad, nor I, nor Pranav, nor anyone else would have been in support of it.
Yeah, agreed, yeah. But he said, clarified later, is that he was not calling for a genocide. He was just calling for a destruction of a religion which is responsible for division and strife in the society. Right? Yeah. It has created class divisions.
It is very inequality. Much so.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is not to support in that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only way anyone can be against that statement is by strawmanning. By making it seem
BJP spokesperson, BJP IT cell head Amit Malviya did strawman it. He said it's about genocide and stuff. And I think I pointed out in my live stream that Amit Malviya is everything is a genocide to Amit Malviya except genocide.
But you know, the thing is, the Udayanidhi thing, I feel like also people don't have the cultural context also there. No? Tamil Nadu mein toh it's a very common thing. Atheism, and like, you know, and Periyar ke views.
Dravidian movement, Periyar politics, yeah.
Didn't Periyar call it like a disease that needs to be rooted
like
out
that.
Or something?
Periyar said a lot of shit.
Yeah. Lot of things, yeah.
He said a lot of stuff.
Funny thing, they're also very anti-caste. it's very common in South, in Kerala and Tamil Nadu. Like my name, for example, Pranav Radhakrishnan. Radhakrishnan is not a caste name, it's my dad's name. And most Keralites and Tamils have their father's name as their surname because they didn't want caste. They wanted to get rid of caste in society by removing it from names.
So, I have a few friends also who have really weird second names, and I asked them, he said, no, my dad decided to be anti-caste and name me this. And I said, good. And he said, no, not good. Meri jindagi barbaad hogi iski wajah se. Nobody in school would know who I am, because, but I suppose that's probably because the school mates were looking for caste.
And also, across the board, if a religion has practices that are wrong, are discriminatory, are meant to incite violence or like gender violence, which many have, like, you know, whatever, take the rights of individual people away, it needs to be called out. And yeah, what's so wrong with that, right? You know, even if it's Islam, Hinduism, doesn't matter, Christianity.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Kuch time pehle wo BJP ke ek spokesperson thi who said something on a TV channel about Islam, and the BJP said, yeah, a fringe element, hum usko nikal rahe hain. I don't think that should have happened to her either. I don't think that should have happened to her.
Guys, wait
either.
For my next podcast. I'm talking about exactly this.
If you're going to tease me, then at least tell me who the guest is.
Yeah.
So I have an ex-Muslim on my podcast in the next episode. And Vimo, you can guess who it is.
Is it...
no, don't say it.
The gentleman whose podcast I was on?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
cool. Say it now. What is this nonsense, guys? Please.
It's like everybody knows exactly. I'll tell you that if you just search for. Do you want to say his name?
Yeah, I think we've said enough. People can, if they want to know, they can just look it up now.
So tell Meghnad only, because he's the only
it's
one who doesn't
know. It's Arif Hussain. He's an ex-Muslim from Kerala. And he's gone through hell, dude. Like, hell. Because he rejected religion, he's gone through things like... So, in Islam, there is a rule that you should not have any sort of relationship with a non-believer. So, the moment he rejected Islam, his family... including his wife and kids, removed all contact from him.
What? Okay,
he can't
legally
sue them.
There is, in fact,
they're just practicing their religious freedom.
Oh, wow.
So,
there is,
harsh.
In fact, very harsh. An article I'll just recommend. It's on my bookmarks. Pranav, keep talking while I look for it.
Yeah, that's what I want to say. Anyway, more details. Wait for my podcast.
This is the long one that you did, no?
Yep. It's the same one we talked about
day. Fun. When is it talk?
We talked about a lot of things. Because apart from being an ex-Muslim, he's also an ex-homeopath. So we talked about alternative medicine.
Right.
He's also an ex-communist. So we talked about... I was defending socialism and he was on the side of capitalism.
Oh, so it went to all sorts of wonderful places.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't find it. I'll share it later. But this is a good point to move to our next caller, who is Ashish. Ashish, you're online and you want to talk about capitalism.
Hey, Vimo, can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. Go on.
Yeah, so... Yeah, the Trinity is here, and I think this is the perfect audience to talk about the capitalism. So, the question is, again, is capitalism good or bad, right? So, in my opinion, capitalism has advantages of mobilizing wealth towards a particular cause. But since I think you have opposed it many times, Vimo, saying that it's based on profit. My theory on that is that certain ideas or innovations have to be tried and executed even for us to know that they could be profitable and all that, right?
I agree.
So, the point being that I work in a company where we developed softwares like vaccine management system or safely return to workplace. So we were able to do these things because of capitalism, because we the company mobilized these people, they allowed them to work on this product, and we were able to achieve it, right? So the point being is, so another example, right? So something like internet mobile packs, they were hugely expensive in India time back, right? And because of capitalism and fair regulations, what is happening is that you could say that this thing, this scenario is also bad, that, hey, people are watching a lot of mobile, they are not spending time with family. But think
that is not the primary... I'll just point something out because we're passing it by. That is not the primary argument against capitalism. I am not saying innovation should not happen. I'm saying profit seeking is not the best way to make sure that innovation happens, because profit seeking often, like you are, I'm not saying you are assuming it, but the assumption behind all supportive arguments of capitalism is that the free market is a place where the only motivation behind people doing things is, you know, what is best. And it is not. It is often the reason things often happen in a market often have to do with what is being promoted as good. Like, I'm sure there are plenty of products in the market that you know about which are more expensive than they should be.
Right.
And many products which are entirely useless but are sold at such high rates that it cannot possibly for the good of anyone except the hobbyist with a lot of spare money.
Right. True. I agree with you. But on that point, right? So capitalism has a flavor to it wherein... So free market is one thing. But what I would say is like a kind of a fair capitalism thing is that you have somebody like a governing body, like a government who is setting up the rules and who is...
regulation.
You know, allowing, regulation, yes. The rules. So simple example, right? That if you... If there is a, you know, some natural resource and a pond or something, you allow people to pollute, it may get polluted and all. But if you allow companies to use it the way they want, they will use it that bad way. But if you have regulation around it, or if you penalize people for doing that, penalize the companies to do that, then, you know, you have a way of, you know, allowing the mobilization of resources to happen. And, you know, capitalism allows you to do that. So there is another example, right? I think Pranav recommended one
of
the videos.
So this may be a problem. Before we move ahead, let me just point it out. This may be a problem, which is that the amount of punishment you can hand to a gigantic corporation, which is feeding billions of dollars into political parties and their campaigns, is limited. The amount of punishment, there's a reason why you don't see...
So that is assuming the system is already corrupt, right? You're saying the politicians are corrupt.
I'm saying, do you have any example of this perfect kind of free market, perfectly regulated system anywhere on earth?
Right now, I don't have. But I don't think so. Why it could not exist?
I don't think it will. For a very basic reason that, you know, it's impossible to have like a equal starting condition. So, I mean, just humor me here. Like the ceteris paribus conditions for capitalism to work as a free market. And if I even buy your argument about profit being the motivator for innovation, right? The point is that there is like this fair market where everybody is competing with their products and trying to stand out. So the one that is the most innovative and useful for the people will actually win out, right? Is that what capitalism is supposed to do? Basically, from my understanding, it is. But at the same time, there will never be a ceteris paribus condition, right? There will always be inequalities in society. So you cannot implement capitalism unless you have like the same starting point. So like a Dalit person starting a business versus a Brahmin starting a business versus a Marwadi starting a business are all three different starting points.
Yeah, right? That's a woman like starting India a business, extra a man layers starting of complication. A business. It's not even just about lack of money or having money. In India, there's an extraordinary additional layer of complexity which is added to it because of the culture.
Precisely.
Yeah. So, so the social inequalities, right? There are ways to solve that, right? Reservation is a way to solve caste system. Is to, you know, improve the situation of so-called lower caste people, right?
Vishal, if your point is that
Ashish again, Remo.
Sorry, I'm looking at someone else. Oh yeah, Ashish, sorry, Vishal is next to you, sorry. Ashish, so if your point is that this idealized capitalism can only work in a world where inequality has been wiped out, then I'm not opposed to it.
Right. So what I'm saying is that capitalism and socialism, right, where you work on the inequality, solve it, the government does it, and you have capitalist system set in for the corporates to compete in each other and allowing innovations to thrive, they can coexist.
But you know who else is doing that? Socialism is doing that.
Not
removing inequalities. And,
socialism, you know, that's what I'm saying. Capitalism and socialism can coexist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
I think it will be better to say that commerce can exist within socialism. Because the moment you bring in capitalism and corporations, you are looking at corruption. People
and
should not get to be that
specifically talking about removing inequalities through welfare and making things public utility so that they're freely available. I'm talking about that part of it.
Because Ashish mentioned, right, you remove social inequality, right? You remove social inequality, you have a society where capitalism, commerce can finally happen without any, you know, undue unfairness. And then you bring in corporation and instantly you have inequality. Because that's an extremely rich guy. An extremely rich corporation, they will try to bring in more inequality to serve their own purposes. Capitalism defeats itself.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's why I hate capitalism.
I haven't said anything so far. So
Pranav has something to say.
I remember I was having this conversation with Arif, and the whole time I made a lot of arguments against capitalism. Why capitalism is bad. And I noticed the issue was, if I'm arguing for socialism, it's not, I don't think pointing out the flaws of capitalism is the way to go. We should also see why socialism is good. And I think you made a point, both of you made a point here that socialism makes everyone equal and then tries to, you said commerce can happen within a socialist framework. Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense, but it's almost, I think a very good example for this would be the metro system. It's very cheap. It's making only enough profit to be break even, but at the same time, it's meant to be used. It's meant to be accessible. So I guess my point
by everyone.
I think we should find reasons why socialism is the answer to the flaws of capitalism.
It goes back to the same point, right? I mentioned that they can coexist, that socialism address some flaws of the capitalism.
So no, Ashish, I think we already went through that, right? Can you give me an example of a society where I'm like, this is unfair. If I ask you for hypothetical societies, it's unfair.
Right.
I'm saying,
right.
Can you imagine a society where socialism exists and inequalities don't exist? And a corporation exists?
Yeah, so we are assuming we have this image of corporation in mind, right? That, hey, when the corporation
comes... No, that image comes, is based on reality. It's not something I'm making.
True.
It's so, corporation. So my, that's what corporations are.
My image of corporation is people coming together and trying to achieve a common cause, which is something like an innovation or something.
Got
and
it. You uh-huh. have, then I'm agreeing
and
with
you.
That,
and
like
you
it's a
have,
workplace cooperative.
Right. And one more thing, right? Mm-hmm. You so let me take one example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Go on, go
so
on.
You have, let's say, so I think Pranav recommended one video on capitalism. I watched that, and in that they make this point that penicillin invention was made in somewhere like 1930s by the scientist, but it was not until 10-15 years or whatever that innovation reached the people. And it was capitalism wherein a person came in and they shared this money and allowed this, they mobilized this wealth and allowed the innovation to thrive and reach it to the people of World War who are suffering and dying because of it. So
Ashish, that was not because of capitalism. That was because somebody decided the people who are suffering deserve medicine. And even if it costs me loss, I will make it available to them. Because if that example is to be used, I can give you examples of 10 medicines which are really crucial for people's health right now. Cancer medicine, cancer vaccinations, etc. Injections or, you know, other things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which corporations are polio like, vaccine. There have been corporates who have literally openly said our medicine is only for people who can afford it. And they make the medicine cost more than most people can afford it.
That I agree. Yeah, that exists.
Yeah. So yeah. I think worker cooperatives, great idea. But you're talking about socialism in that case, and that's not capitalism. If the workers own the corporation that they're working for, they will be happier. Everyone will be happier. Wage inequality will be gone and everything. But that's not a corporation.
I wanted to come in at that point only about how you define the corporation, right? I think I feel like the definition of corporation as a company or a company specifically I'm talking about is that it is a legal entity by itself, which can have signatures, make deals. It is an artificial person, right? There's a reason why it has been created as an artificial person. It is a Chinese wall between the people who are actually have shares of that company and the people, promoters, CEO, etc. So there is this middleman, there is this entity which has been created, which will deal with all regulatory, legal, all the problems, right? So as an entity, it will have profits and those profits will be split to give it to people behind the wall, right?
Got it.
It is a conscious creation of the human mind, which is an imaginary creation to basically sell as a story. That's genuinely what I believe a company is, right? Yeah. And capitalism is completely based on this as the basic structure, the corporation which you're talking about. It is an entity which has a brand value. It is an entity which has attributes. It is an entity which also has a personality, right? So you cannot act against the people behind the scenes. It is an actual a conscious choice. So
LLC is a limited liability corporation, both them, because if the company does something bad, the person can't be held responsible because the corporation is a legal person. LLC, precisely. LLP, jo bhi hota hai.
So the thing is, I'm not
Ashish,
sure.
Hold on, Pranav. Ashish, do you have any other question? Can I move on to the
no,
next person?
No other question. Yeah, I'm good. Okay, cool. But I would like to hear Pranav's thoughts, last thoughts on this.
You can hear it after I remove you, is okay?
Sure, that's okay. Yeah,
cool. Chalo, bye.
I was saying that in a socialist framework, although there's a lot more fairness and equality, and the fact that corporations exist not purely for profit, I think destroys any motivation for innovation.
Why do you say that though?
I'm sure we can come up with individual examples where people were not motivated by profit. People genuinely wanted to alleviate suffering or whatever. Like the polio vaccine is an example. It was never patented. People all over the world got access because of that. But apart from those individual examples, doesn't the motivation for innovation, isn't it at least driven down a lot because there's no profit incentive?
Okay, Meghnath, you go first and then I'll say it.
Okay, so like, I mean, if you want to ask a basic question, like innovation is still, it makes me think of a product, right? I'm thinking more on the terms of creativity. So if you look at it like human creativity, right? You know, so like, for example, like I am creating a video or whatever. Like, where did that idea come from? Is it like, I mean, it came from a lot of things, you know, like a lot of exposure to a lot of information, a lot of situations, maybe personal experiences, traveling, all the things. It combines into this ultimate idea, which I put out. Some might see it as an innovation. Some might see it as a very creative thing that has happened, right? I would say that every innovation is ultimately a result of creativity. So my question then to you, Pranav, is, are you saying that in a socialist setting, there will never be an environment or there are very few environments created which allow for that creativity?
I think if we redefine it as creativity, I think no. But as innovation, I think maybe yes. creativity optimized for progress, for innovation, maybe yes.
But you're still thinking in product terms.
Maybe.
My point is, Pranav, do you remember we talked about how religion hijacks basic human things?
Yeah.
Mm. You know, celebration, community, etc. Innovation is a basic human thing. People were innovating before capitalism. People were building the wheel. People found fire. People will do things to make life easier for themselves and for their community, right? But capitalism, like religion, rides on that. Capitalism tries to claim as if innovation is only possible under it. That is not true. So, you know, there is plenty of innovation and there has been innovation in countries which are not capitalist.
I agree with you. There have been innovations. I think Cuba did a really good job on vaccines, if I remember correctly.
Innovation can be fueled by profit motive. Yeah, I agree. But innovation does not have to depend on the profit motive in order to happen. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with that too. It's not black and white, but isn't it mostly motivated by profit?
I think
it is the case that we have mostly seeing it happen that way.
True.
That's where Meghnad's product point comes in. We only think of innovation. When you think of innovation, we think of a company bringing out a product. That's why we have gotten into thinking that if there is no company, if there is no one putting making something because of a profit motive, this thing cannot happen. Like we see religious festivals, right? We've only seen people gather together to do religious festivals. So we cannot imagine Comic-Con being a festival or something secular being a festival. It's the same is happening here also. It's a mental block. Not saying you have it. I'm saying everyone has it.
Yeah. Like Shaunak has this point, which I thought is interesting. As a researcher myself, knowledge creation is a motivation in and of itself. Most researchers are not motivated by profit, but the joy of research and inquisitiveness.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also a fair point.
Pranav, think about yourself. Would you be making more money if you're working in a corporation right now than you are as a YouTuber?
Dude, I think some of my actions as a YouTuber have some capitalist tune
to it. But the motivations are not solely capitalistic, right? You're also doing it for joy and for social, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? As a corporation, even if someone said, okay, drop those two motivations, I'll pay you more, come to my company and work, you will not do it right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, but that's what my point is.
But at the same time, someone in a company, it's not like they can't have joy in their work and, they want to do it because they like doing it. That scenario can still happen in a job, in a company, right?
Yeah, I think the more important question is, someone is in a capitalist system. They are getting a hefty salary to do something that they love. You take the salary away, will they stop?
Probably not.
They will do it in some other way.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
But you take the joy away, and then you reach your answer. You take, like, there is joy and there is money. Take the money away, the person's joy doesn't go away. They will find some way of doing it, even if they're not getting paid for it. You take the joy away.
To be completely fair, both socialism and capitalism are capable of taking joy away from work. I mean, both of them. like you can either work in a factory or in a corporate setting, but ultimately the workplace will grind you down and take the joy away from it.
Right.
On the point to defend capitalism, people don't assume I'm a pro-capitalist.
Everyone, please go right ahead and assume he's a capitalist.
Okay.
So, see, also the other thing is that capitalism is a system that allows for self-correction. I think if you think of a system like communism, which had, like in Russia, there was the Gulag system, where people were literally taken and forced to work and not even paid. Like, there's no way they can protest and improve that system. It's capitalism which allows for protest and labor unions. You can't unionize and against the government in a communist system.
Oh, capitalism does not allow for unions.
tell me about this, because I think I don't.
So I think you're confusing two things, right? Okay, so
hold
like
on,
let's
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Here's the prison system under capitalism. Private prisons in the United States incarcerated 115,428 people in 2019, representing 8% of the total state and federal prison population. Since 2000, the number of people housed in private prisons has increased 32% compared to an overall rise in the prison population of 3%. This is a corporation making money from prisoners. It's slavery. This happens in capitalism also.
But, you know, that's the thing. That's what I was saying, Vimo. I think, Pranav, so when you gave the example of Gulag, is that really socialism or is that authoritarianism? You just think of it this way, right? You know, like when authoritarianism comes into the picture, it doesn't matter which ideals you're following. Capitalism, socialism, doesn't matter, because authoritarianism is about top-down decision-making where certain amount of people will be exploited to give benefits to the people who are in power and also their followers and everything, right? So that it's like that top-down approach, authoritarian. A gulag, or even the Nazis and how they functioned, right? They might have sort of encompassed their overall functioning with socialism, communism, whatever, what have you, right? But ultimately, at the core of it, that is authoritarianism, right? Where it's like top-down rule, where people are being exploited. So when you're talking about, let's say, capitalism and socialism, like unions, right? Unions are a form of workers to unite and then ask for their rights, right? There's this podcast I was listening to, Our Opinions Are Correct, right? There is this place in America called Lowell. When the mills first came to America, I think somewhere around the 1840, there's this woman, Barbara something, who basically started the first union to fight for the rights of women, but not just women, to reduce the working hours from 12 to 10, right? She formed the first union, gathered a bunch of people, started a small movement. And this was before Marx, by the way. So the thing is that what she wanted was that because of this new loom and the dangerous machines that we have to operate and your profit motives and us getting less pay for it, and women got even paid even lesser, there needs to be a concentrated effort of the workers to fight for their fair wage and rights, right? Now, that is socialism, according to me, right? Organization, working as a collective, fighting for rights, and also getting profits spread across the board, I think is basically socialism, right?
There is a comment from Taranga, which kind of explains this a little bit. Hold on.
I think Gulag is not an example, good example for socialism.
But that is essentially what happens, right?
Gulag is an excuse that people use.
No, but Pranav, I completely understand.
Most times, socialism tha, everything bad that happened there was because of socialism. That's what
they did. The reason I brought this up is because that was how the conversation went between me and Arif in that podcast. I think I did a bad job of defending socialism, but we'll wait for the podcast to come.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Taranga comment. Innovation stops being reliant only on the profit motive in the ideal socialist future. Innovation has always existed as per human needs and curiosity. But in socialism, the doing something you love is not tied to having the basics of life. Because those basics are secured for everyone.
Right.
No, I put Taranga's comment on screen because she has read more about this than any of us.
Very valid. So essentially, what she's
just
saying.
Let me just take 1 minute to do something that I have been waiting for. Deep and John, thank you for the 449 rupees super chat. Can we call the three of you the unholy trinity from now on? No trinity.
I'm down. I don't care about Vimo. I'm down.
Rath G says, is this caller a podcaster too? Sounds like a pro mic and voice. Sound familiar too. He was talking about Ashish. Maybe. I don't know if Ashish has a podcast. Ashish, do you have a podcast? Let us know. We would like to subscribe and write angry comments. Huh, go on, Meghnath.
To Taranga's point. Right? So, that's precisely the point. So, socialism would ensure that your basic needs are fulfilled so that everything is not seen as something you need to do for profit, like the prison system you said, education, healthcare, etc. Basic needs are basically sorted. And then when people are secure with their basic needs, I think that creates a perfect environment for innovation. Then capitalism can take over on top of that, is what I think.
Capitalism can take over on top of that?
I mean, sure, I understand your point.
Like, which is the bigger bracket inside which capitalism? Is socialism under capitalism? Or capitalism?
Socialism forms the base of basic needs, right? Okay. Socialism forms the base where every basic need is fulfilled. And then on top of it, there is capitalism and innovation. Yeah.
That's why Gulagi Aankhe.
Someone says, said that...
I think people need to look at...
Someone said Gulag was a...
I think people need to look at living examples of socialist states like the Rojava. I'm not sure if that's the right pronunciation. Hmm. Rojava or Rojava, who are anarchist, feminist, socialist. Hmm. Even I need to look at that. You were saying?
I think there was a fact check. I don't know if this is true. Gulag was an education prison system. It was meant to punish the people who were against socialism.
So even that is not a good thing. People can be against socialism. Why would you need to educate them? It's like China having re-education camps for Muslims or something. So people, we are already at the 1 hour 16 minute mark. I will take one more caller. I'm sorry to everyone. I was not counting on these two turning up and this turning into a podcast today. So it's not my fault. Blame Meghnath and Pranav for it. Let's see. Private chat mein dekhta hun. Hold on.
There's a super chat also.
Amit, thank you for the $10 super chat. Late stage capitalism hurts people. It has hurt people from the beginning only. Late stage is when you find out that it is hurting. Late stage capitalism is when you finally go to the doctor.
Late stage capitalism is when you give $10 to say this. And Vimo immediately takes it up.
Private chat mein dekhta hu kisko kya baat karna tha. मैं शिरो आशा को ले रहा हूँ बिकॉज एवरी टाइम ही कम्स आई से तेरे पास सिर्फ 5 मिनट हैं. शिरो आशा, गो ऑन, यू आर ऑनलाइन.
थैंक्स फॉर टेकिंग मी. आई रियली वांटेड टू लाइक से
आई कांट हियर यू.
हेलो,
लाउडर प्लीज.
अ लिटिल लाउडर.
ओह माय गॉड, इज इट ऑडिबल नाउ?
इफ नो, यू आर ऑडिबल बट द वॉल्यूम इज वेरी लो. इफ यू हैव एन ईयरफोन और समथिंग, टेक इट आउट एंड जस्ट टॉक टू द फोन.
होल्ड ऑन, गिव मी अ मिनट.
इसीलिए इसको सिर्फ 5 मिनट दिया था. अभी तो म्यूट हो गया.
कैन यू टेक स्काई? हैज सम क्वेश्चन अबाउट
आई विल टेक स्काई एंड देन शिरोयाशा. शिरोयाशा अंटिल देन कैन सॉर्ट आउट हिज टेक इश्यूज. स्काई, गो ऑन.
हेलो, हाय गाइस, थैंक यू सो मच. सो ओके, सो सबसे पहले आई लास्ट प्रणव ही कॉल्ड मी. सो प्रणव, आई हैव बीन फॉलोइंग योर चैनल एंड आल्सो डॉक्टर Abby Phillips, unka bhi Twitter I used to follow, and then I love his work. Actually, he helped me in some way. Mainly 52, mujhe kisi doctor ne bol diya tha khane ke liye, and then I read at his Twitter ke liye 52 bakwas dawai hai, aapko nahi lena chahiye, and I didn't take, aur mujhe bahut acha laga. I actually didn't take, but around abhi unke saath jo recent aapka podcast hua tha, I'm sorry, do you understand Hindi?
Hindi, I understand.
Okay, yeah. I'll speak in English. I'm sorry. So I did listen to the recent podcast that you did with Dr. Philip, and I listened his reason for, like, when he says why Ayurveda doesn't work. It's usually the placebo or time, the disease automatically you get well. I am actually not convinced with this argument, and I mean, I could be wrong, and you can't do anything about
Sky,
it.
Can you speak a little louder or clearer, because there's a little bit of background.
There's some echo, I think.
Okay, no, I'm actually.
Some of your words are disappearing, and some are coming. Yeah, so speak more clearly.
Okay, so yeah,
this is better.
So what I'm saying is, I am actually not convinced with the reason. That it's just placebo or the disease gets you get well for some reason. Is there, do you think there are any valid reasons why Ayurveda works? Probably it doesn't work for everybody, but for on certain bodies it works. Like for example, alcohol for me. So I don't drink, okay, but then for a few months I did drink, and that's like for on few days, like in a month maybe thrice or four times, for 3 months I drink, and then I did my blood checkup for some like physical reason, for gym reason, and then I found out that my liver enzymes have increased, AST and ALT, and that's, I drink like for 3 months, just for 3 months. And I know people who drink almost regularly and their liver enzymes are perfectly fine. So on certain body types, does Ayurveda work, and on others, it doesn't work? Could these be reasons, or it's just placebo? Like, what do you think about it?
So Ayurveda doesn't work is not what we say. It's that if Ayurveda works, we don't know it does, because those trials are not done in a proper randomized controlled trial. So let's say you're saying that what if Ayurveda, what if a certain Ayurvedic medication works on some person, maybe doesn't have the same effect on someone else. So how about this? How about we take a bunch of people? Obviously, there will be individual variation across the group, but over the whole group, on average, if it works, then we'll have a better improvement of symptoms on that group, right? That's what randomization is. Such trials where medicines are tested against another group where they're not given the actual medication, the improvement, the difference in improvement is not clearly obvious. So we're not able to say if Ayurvedic, this medicine, is actually effective. Now, you cannot make a conclusion like this by looking at an individual case. So a person might have some symptoms, they might take something Ayurvedic and they might see an improvement in their symptoms. But this is not enough to conclude that the improvement was caused by the medicine. It could be because maybe over time they got better, maybe with something else they ate, maybe they their doctor asked them to continue their modern medicine, whatever. So the issue to your question, the answer to your question is that we are not able to determine or conclude an answer to that question because we don't have proper well-designed RCTs that show you efficacy. Now, if such RCTs shows efficacy of any Ayurvedic drug, of course, the whole entire scientific community, medical community would more than gladly accept this as treatment for whatever condition. But we are not able to do that because those tests don't exist.
Okay, like up till now it didn't exist, but then like the government has a Ministry of Ayush. So are they now doing it? Like
there is a ministry, but are there tests?
Are they doing tests now, like from now onwards, and trying to
prove that this one? There are tests, but what they do is, see, there is a body whose sole objective is to popularize, not to actually research and find good reasons to popularize it, good reasons why it's beneficial for the health of its citizens. It just wants to popularize no matter what the cost.
And so you are saying often, that the testing system is basically a PR mechanism?
Kind of.
How does that work? Sorry.
So what they do is they design tests in such a way that the results of the tests are in favor of the medicines. So maybe they might take a smaller sample. They might test on diseases that might otherwise heal by themselves. Like say COVID-19, if your symptoms are mild, you will naturally get better no matter if you take medicine or not. So to such people, such asymptomatic people, they'll give medicines like Coronal. and say, oh, look at our medicine. It cured so many people. And so...
So by the way, sorry, self-plug. Self-plug, we broke that story. We broke that story of coronal being fake. Yeah. Just,
congrats.
Sorry, go on. Self-plug. Go on, sorry.
So, a lot of studies are there in the CCRA's web portal, which is the Ayush Ministry portal for all the studies, all the repository and everything. But the problem is they're not published in reputed journals with proper peer review. So what they end up having is, hey, look at this study. They have a bunch of studies that they can point to show you that, hey, this study showed positive results for this medicine. But people will overlook whether that was a robust, well-designed study and all that. So that's the issue.
In fact, I would recommend that people go to Pranav's second channel, which is just Pranav Radhakrishnan, and watch his most recent video where he's reacting to someone making a video about his original video on Ayurveda and the callousness with which they treat evidence. Like, Hani is this journal is a predatory journal, but what is a predatory journal really? So please do watch that video. And also the original video in reaction to which that video was made.
I'd recommend a different video. Like, if you want to...
Ayush.
That was a long video in which I asked experts on what actually is happening in the alternative healthcare system, and it's a very long deep. They've properly have analyzed everything. I'd recommend my video on Ayush on the main channel, if you want to be entertained, what Vimo said is also a entertaining video, but
thank you. I have a few more questions if you have time. Can I ask
Sky? We don't have time. I want to take Shriyasha. You can ask Pranav on Instagram. I'm sure he'll be happy to answer.
It's actually a political question I wanted to ask Vimo and Meghnath.
What is the topic?
It's a reservation and
what is the position?
And so my position is, the way the currently I understand what Supreme Court says about reservation when somebody is has like economically they are doing good, and the Supreme Court says that even if you are doing economically well, you are still that caste and you face that discrimination. I totally agree with that. But then I feel like it's counterproductive. I mean, logic, I get it, but I feel it's counterproductive if you just compare giving that reservation to other people of the same caste who are like not doing well. And so like could this be discussed?
You just said you agree with the position of the Supreme Court.
I agree with the position, but then the other thing that I think is it counterproductive? Like it's a question that I
counterproductive think about. How? For whom is it counterproductive? What is it
hindering? For people of the like lower other people of this lower caste who are not economically well. Like so I understand.
Okay, so this is a familiar so have you seen any video on this channel about caste before?
No, I have not. I'm sorry.
Have you seen any reel of mine about reservation before?
No, I'm not.
So I have addressed all of this. If you have any doubts, I think there is a playlist on this channel called Caste Conversations.
Okay.
Go ahead and watch it. It's a bunch of conversations that I've had on this live stream with people about caste and reservation. There is a bunch of reels on my Instagram account also. If you still have the same question, please do come back next Saturday and we will talk about it.
Okay, fine. I mean, I have one more question, but main agli baar puchunga.
Thank you so much, Sky. Bye bye. So that was Kai, and I'm sorry for hurrying through it, guys, because I think I want to end by 9:30 it's already 9:20. So, right? Hold on. Let me just remove Sky. Let's see who else I can take. I'll take Shriyasha because he was waiting. Shriyasha, go on.
Hey, is it better now?
Yes.
I'll start. Yeah, it's good to see all of you together because I think I started following you guys around the same time, which was, I think, in 2020. in the COVID period. So I got into News Laundry, Vimo, and Sciences Dope at the same time. Finally, उस टाइम तक उतना डीपली नहीं था, तब खा टाइम ही टाइम था ना फिर तो.
अच्छा, मतलब हम लोग टाइम पास है मतलब.
हाँ. Vimo, I think even you started streaming around the same time, right?
Okay. Right. Okay, I started around 2020 on this channel. Before that, I was only on Instagram. But go on.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I didn't know Pranav and Meghnath would also be joining. One on Kalibi questions.
Like, even I didn't know that. Imagine my surprise.
It's great. Cool. So first of all, one thing that just struck me during the conversation was when the theist argue about God, right? One argument that just struck me right now is I had went to debate with a couple of people, I before knows. So there are the same set of people that Pranav that try to debunk Pranav, right? The video that you just mentioned, it's from the same set of people. I had went into a debate with them, into a theist debate. And the debate stopped at a point where they were claiming that if there is a universe, there must be a creator, right? Because there cannot be a creation without a creator. But right now, just occurred to me that they are themselves faltering at a point. The base of the argument is that God cannot have a creator, otherwise that would go into an infinite digression, right?
It's a special pleading fallacy.
Exactly. But it's also counterintuitive, right? Because if you're assuming that God does not have a creator, then why can't universe not have a creator? Universe can also exist, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the argument falls apart. It just struck me right now. It didn't
stop. My favorite is when they say that something cannot come from nothing. So the question is, does something exist? Yes.
Exactly.
So it must have come from something, and that something must have come from something, and that something must have come from something. If you are saying that something cannot come from nothing, then you are literally saying that infinite regress is possible.
Yeah.
Like something also, has always come from me.
One point I want to make, I'll just go right now to my door after that. But see, the moment you call the universe a creation, automatically you're smuggling in a creator. Right? So I'll just
Meghnath kharab ho gaya. Meghnath is a theist who has fallen into bad company. Okay, Pranav, let Pranav come back.
I'm an agnostic theist.
So Sagar says, and maybe Meghnath can weigh in on this, Anand Ranganathan tweeted, the statements made by DMK ministers is in contempt of the Supreme Court order of April 2023. Do you agree?
What is the Supreme Court order of?
I have no idea, and I don't care, because Anand Ranganathan is the guy who went on Beer Vices podcast and said, if the court is not taking any action against so-called bulldozer justice, then clearly they must be doing something right? So by that same logic, this statement can also not be questioned by him. If the court has not done anything against them, then surely they must have done something right? Ulluka library. Never mind. Sagar, thank you for the 100 rupees. Much appreciated.
We had just to add to that. So we had like a very heart-to-heart session about Anand Ranganathan on my members only live stream today.
Yeah,
because I have encountered him in multiple places. News Laundry may
I know.
News Laundry, and then we
was this the encounter where he said truce?
No. Later. Oh yeah. There was one, but the other one was when I had like a very public, spat with him on
as
Twitter,
in physically,
which was
Twitter.
Okay. Twitter. आनंद रंगनाथन से पंचिंग करके थोड़ा मजा आता बट लाइक आई मीन नो वो नहीं हुआ बट या सो लाइक वी हैड अ वेरी बिग हार्ट टू हार्ट अबाउट आनंद रंगनाथन एंड व्हाट वी थिंक अबाउट हिम व्हिच इज नॉट टू बी मेंशनड इन पब्लिक
या मेंबर्स ओनली पीपल फॉर सच हाई क्वालिटी मेंबर्स ओनली कंटेंट प्लीज जॉइन मेघनाथ चैनल
इंटीमेट
श्रेयाशा को बोल गया सॉरी श्रेयाशा गो ऑन
Yeah, second point regarding the discussion that you're just having, capitalism versus socialism. So one thing I'd like to point out. So Pranav, if you're saying that you're not a capitalist, by scientific method, I think we should first assume that you are, and then we should do a regression and do all those tests to disprove that you are not actually, right?
Is this sarcasm or is this actual?
It is sarcasm, but also isn't this the basis of the scientific argument?
But do you have any evidence to suggest that Pranav is a capitalist?
No, but he was saying, right, that assume that I'm not. So I'm saying, let's assume that you are, and then let's try to prove that you're not.
Oh, that way, huh? Kya bolte hain? Null what?
It's basically testing, falsifying
Basically, you try to falsify your own claim. And if you can't, even after rigorous testing, then you have to accept it.
I think the simple method is that Pranav does not have capital.
Yes.
Hum sab gareeb hai. Capitalism is for those who have capital.
I wish that wasn't true.
Yeah, that's true.
So Shiro, what I'd like to say is that the initial assumption itself that you make in the scientific method must come from an observation. So you observe something and then you make a hypothesis. So do you have observation?
No, so here I'm going it in a reverse manner. I want to prove that you are not a capitalist. That's why I'm assuming that you are.
Then it because doesn't matter what you assume, right? Like you can assume either way that I am or I'm not.
Yeah, it was in jest. It was in jest.
Yeah.
You know, if I still had to offer up like an objective thing for you to work with, the fact that Pranav keeps batting for this whole innovation comes from capitalism, that's a great starting point.
But I also defended socialism.
We will
come to that conclusion after we watch your podcast with Arif.
Okay, cool, fair enough.
To add to that thing, so there's this thing called a political compass, right? Where you don't just look at left or right, but you look at those three axes. So when you define capitalism or socialism, does it fall on one axis or does it fall in the that spectrum?
So did you take that compass quiz and where do you stand? Where are you on that quadrant?
I don't remember Meghnath actually, but I think I was kind of a progressive individualistic libertarian, I guess.
Libertarian. So I'm like in the bottom left, like near the center, right? Which is the whole point of the quadrant is that there is economic and there is social, right? So it's like basically a mix of both. So you can be economically left, but you can be socially maybe like what is defined as the right, so that is one quadrant, or you can be both left, right? So I'm more leaning towards both left. So I think if Pranav takes this quiz, Pranav, you actually should take this. What we can do is, guys, please let's do this. Let's we should do a stream where Pranav takes the political compass.
Samajh gaya. Tumhare bolne se pehle main samajh gaya. Har cheez ko stream banana hota tumko.
Guys,
karte hai na? Theek hai. Cool.
I don't deny that I have some capitalist notions and let's say tendencies, because I come from such a background. Like I come from a college where everyone tries for those MNC companies with the highest paying jobs. So I have been in environments that foster this kind of thought a bit. And for me, it was a journey of discovery to learn how there are these flaws in capitalism there. And I slowly shifted more towards socialism. And now I've heard some arguments why capitalism can be better with all these regulations and everything. And even I'm on a journey of
mixed,
trying to understand by debate and discussion.
It's never a good idea to arrive at a destination when it comes to ideology, it's always great to be on a constant journey, because where the fun is. Like if you arrive at a destination, you are defined and then you can't change. It's like it sucks.
Basically spend your entire life inside a bus.
Never
arrive at any destination. Sir, yahan pe utarna hai kya? Nahi, let's just keep going.
झोला लेके टिकल पड़ेंगे
यहाँ पर आपके पास टिकट के पैसे नहीं है अब एंड देन यू अक्यूज द कंडक्टर ऑफ बीइंग अ कैपिटलिस्ट एंड जंप आउट द विंडो हाँ शिरोश गो ऑन
या सो टू समराइज व्हाट मेघना दास राइट इफ आई हैव टू समराइज इट इन अ वर्ड प्ले मैनर आई वुड से दैट माय आइडियोलॉजी लाइज वेयर माय हार्ट इज अ लिटिल लेफ्ट टू द सेंटर.
Right now,
the bus is parked over there. We'll see where
it goes. I'll tell you honestly, if I took that test a couple of years ago, I would have been a capitalist. But in the last couple, I mean 4 or 5 years. Yeah. 4 or 5 years. I think on a genetic level, I've changed so much over the last decade that it's hard to say when exactly what change happened. But my interactions with people, my conversations with people like Taranga, etc., they have affected me to such a great degree with respect to almost every aspect of my social understanding of who I am and where I stand in society. That yahi test, wo jo tum log jo political index ka baat kar rahe the na, compass. If I had taken it 10 years ago, I would have been 10 years gap, 6-7 saal pehle bhi, it would have been a very different result.
And Vimo, would you also have been conservatist?
With respect to what?
Socially conservative.
Ah, I was a right winger, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, definitely.
Sab reformed so,
okay, final point. So I saw 2 reaction videos on the whole Stalin controversy from Devdutt on Akash. On Akash's channel, have you gotten a chance to see it?
I saw the thumbnail. Did I click on it? I don't remember. Have you guys seen it?
No.
So what was it?
Yeah, like you can watch it. So like a 30-minute. I'll give you a brief 30-minute span. Then I also watched a video from Acharya Prashant. Okay. So basically, both of them, I'll give you the common points. What they're trying to do is they try to differentiate between Sanatan versus Hinduism versus Hindutva. And they try to defend Sanatan in a way. What they're trying to say is a person who is casteist is not a Sanatani. And that's how they try to defend the Sanatan. And then Acharya Prashant obviously plugs in into his Vedantika Gyan and saying that Vedant mein all this is not there. So anyone who is doing this is not a Sanatani, and they can call themselves a Hindu. And again, Hindu does not have any other meaning because it's like a geographical.
Neither word does.
Yeah.
I think Devdutt's Acharya Prashant ka video, mujhe nahi pata. I don't know what he said, but I can imagine what he must have said. Devdutt's video, so, I think I did click on the thumbnail. I have a slight understanding of its position. His position tends to come from an academic understanding of these things. My position seems to come from more of a socio-political understanding of these things. And from that, I can tell you that the word Hindu is not in the Vedas or the Bhagavad Gita. The word Sanatan is, but the Sanatan Dharma phrase is not there. Sanatan simply means eternal. They have taken that word and they have turned it into Sanatan Dharma wala concept sometime in the 19th century. Neither of these are eternal. Neither of these are even very old concepts.
Yeah. Achha, sorry to interrupt. I have to run. I'm going. This was fun, guys. I will do this again at some point. Bye, cool. Pranav. Bye, Vimo.
Bye, Meghnad.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, so that one good thing that... one good thing that Prashant did was he actually gave some insight into Periyar also. So he gave Periyar's whole background and he explained why people in Tamil Nadu think the way they think. So that part I liked, but again, so no use if you try to...
I haven't seen Acharya Prashant's video, so I should not probably comment on it.
Yeah, but I'll check it out. I would like you guys to watch.
I will. Okay. Cool. Thank you, Sir Prashant.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks.
I hope you got more than 5 minutes this time.
Yeah.
Even though I beach mein thode time ke liye I forgot because I can't see people on screen these days. I forget that sometimes people are there.
Bye, so Shiru.
That was Shiru Yasha, and that was the last guest, guys. I won't be able to take anyone else. It's already 9:30. I apologize to. Don't raise your fingers. I can't take anyone because there are like 3 people there. I can't take anyone. I'm so sorry. We'll talk next Saturday. So please remove yourself from the queue. I'll have a few last minute conversations with Pranav and then we will end the stream. What's up, Pranav?
See you.
Are we
still live?
Yes, we are live.
Oh, yeah, man. This is great doing this. I had your stream open on the window. Next window, and I was just writing my next script and I thought, hey, why not just pop in? I didn't know Meghna Gautam, so he came and it turned out to be
miraculously there is a WhatsApp group which has me, Pranav and Meghna in it, and it has the display picture is Sadhguru's face. So if you guys had told me in the WhatsApp group, hey, we want to drop in, I would have totally made space for you. But it's okay that you drop in without announcing.
What's also, fun
it's totally your channel. Ah, yeah, that's true. I'm going to do this to your live stream next time.
Okay. But I probably won't take callers. I probably won't even do a live stream because I know it's getting... okay, we'll have this conversation.
We'll talk about this after the stream ends. And with that, the live stream ends. Yeah. Let me just remind you, if you want to support the channel, please, no more callers today. Thank you. I want to remind everyone that if you want to support the channel, you can do so in the super chat. I mean, you can't do it anymore because the video is ending. But if you're watching this at a later point of time, you can click on the thanks button below and leave a contribution of any amount of your choice. You can also support the channel by becoming a member by clicking the join button below. You can also go to my website at www.vimo.in and click the support button there and make a contribution of any amount of your choice. It's a one-time payment, no membership. Also, there is UPI because all of these methods take a cut. UPI, whatever you send, comes to me directly. So vimo@upi is the handle, vimoh@upi. Thank you in advance for all the support that you guys have shown. And today was a very weird stream because these two joined in. And I will see you on Wednesday at 8 p.m. when we will take more callers. Until then, please take care of yourselves and thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.